Have you ever had a nightmare neighbor? You know, a neighbor from hell? You know what I'm talking about. If so, we want to hear about it in our brand new podcast, Nightmare Neighbors. That's right. We got another one in the works. But we need your stories first. Go to nightmareneighbors.com and send in your nightmare neighbor story. Or call in toll-free 888-68-CRAZY. 888-68-CRAZY. And share your nightmare neighbor story with us. And we may talk about it and use it on a future episode of the Nightmare Neighbors podcast coming very soon. Maybe they're your current neighbors. Maybe they were a neighbor from years gone by. Now is the chance to tell your story anonymously. Go to nightmareneighbors.com to share your nightmare neighbor story with us. Or call 888-68-CRAZY. And be part of the brand new Nightmare Neighbors podcast. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, would you want your grandmother to be watching your every move after she passed? Would that be a blessing or a curse? That's today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is, 855-853-4802. Is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you really like the show, this is a listener-supported program. You can support it by becoming an extra podcast person, an EPP, as we call them. You get access to many, many years of archived extra podcast person episodes. More than 300 in total, just waiting for you to binge away on at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Two places you can sign up to get all that content there. You also get our ebook, our audiobook, both Amazon bestsellers, and you get advanced episodes of the program ad-free weeks before they're released to the public. So you can just start binging away right now at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Tony and Jenny Brewski joining you once again.
Hi.
And how are you this fine day?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. What? Why are you laughing?
I don't know. I hear the pukey fakeness in your voice.
Good. Great. It's just always like right before you're getting into, like, we're about to move as we're recording this program. This is our last shows we're doing in the studio. And of course, like the week when you kind of like get everything down to the wire of here's what we're doing this day, here's what we're doing that day, and here's why, because, you know, you make it really segmented. Now, I'm kind of like that throughout my week anyhow. I'm very scheduled, but on a week like a move, you got to be super scheduled because there's so many moving parts and you want to make sure this is going to be happening at this time. And then there's always like some sort of kink that gets thrown into it. And with everything going on right now with COVID, you know, our daughter's home from school and she's doing the online thing. And of course,
virtual learning.
And of course, comes down between episodes, my computer's not working. And it's like, and so the last half hour I've been sitting here trying to get it to turn on. And thankfully the district was really helpful. It was not just like, oh, talk to Bill. He'll be in next Wednesday. It was great. They were great. They were like, no, go here. They'll walk you right through it. And I basically had to reinstall the system, but it worked. And there you go. But it's just one of those things because like, oh, great. We have to like go to like find the school district office and switch it out and all of that. It's just like, of course you do it, but it just puts a big kink into your already busy day. So anyway, good times. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. Let's go over to our first letter of the day. It says, so when I was younger, My grandmother was hospitalized, and me, my mother, and two of my uncles would go and visit her in the hospital almost every night. I remember one day she told us that there were dogs with red eyes barking and growling in her at the end of her bed and would try and hide from them the next day when we went to visit. She told us that her family was up there waiting for her, pointing to the ceiling. The next day, my grandmother passed away. On the night of her death, my mother was in her bedroom grieving the loss of her mother. My brother and I shared a bedroom and were both in bed. And my sister in bed in her bedroom. My father was comforting my sister, but my sister and brother both became very ill at the same time, vomiting with a high temperature. My dad did the best he could to help them. However, my dad is completely blind, so my mom had to come and help a couple of hours after this. They had stopped being ill and everybody in the house went to sleep. The next morning, my sister told us that she had seen our grandmother standing at the foot of her bed before she went to sleep. I looked over to my dad, who had a worried look on his face, and when asked what was wrong, my dad told us that he walked into his room when everyone had settled down for the night and walked around my grandmother, who was a large lady. My dad is blind and walked around her while feeling the wall to get around his room. My dad's totally blind, like I said, and cannot see the light or dark, nor shadows, nor shapes. I was too young at the time to think anything of it until I started to listen to this podcast and started thinking about it again. This got me thinking even more. I thought back to when my uncle died a few years ago. He had told us that there were people waiting for him up there, pointing to the ceiling. He said they told him he had to go with them. He told them he needed one more day to say goodbye to his family. He passed away the day after this. These events in my life have got me thinking. Lately, I like to say I'm not religious, and before this did not believe in heaven or hell. However, after these two events, I believe there has to be. My grandmother seeing dogs, which are what I believe to be hellhounds, and I think she saw angels and maybe both. And heaven wanted her when she passed, and she was not the nicest lady to her children. However, she was to her grandchildren, and my uncle, I believe, went to heaven with no problems at all, and the angels are waiting for him. Thanks for the podcast, guys. Keep it up. It is amazing.
I think sometimes people that can't see, you know, not just can't see spirits, and that most people cannot see spirits, but people that are blind and cannot see, mm-hmm. you know, they have heightened senses. I almost wonder if they can pick up on spirits easier because they are not trying to see what's in the room with them.
You're just more, your senses are more alert in every way.
Yeah.
And that one may also be more alert.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I could see that being the case.
Yeah.
I could also see it being a worst case scenario, being blind and trying to pick up after people threw up everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
That to me was one of the more horrifying parts of the story, where it's like, oh, that poor dad. Because you're just, if you can't see it at all, and the others are too ill to get around and pick up and or clean up, you're solely going on smell. Like, where is it?
Oh, I think that was probably I'm sorry, I know you're grieving, but you got to come in here and be mom.
Yeah.
Kind of moment.
Yeah, that would be horrible. Interesting story. Thank you for sharing that with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us.
I don't have anything.
Okay. I you looked for a second like you had something. So
no,
I was just nodding your way. Let's go to our next story. It says, hey, Tony and Jenny, I've been a listener for years, but have not thought to send in my own ghost story until recently. It's nothing insane, but I hope you would find it mildly interesting at the very least. I'm about to turn 30 years old for reference, so this probably would have taken place around 1997 or 1998. I grew up in the house my dad had, which is in a suburb of Philadelphia. When my dad's father passed away, he had left the house to him. Things have always happened in our house. Toilets are flushing, doors opening and closing. I'm not sure that they've all been from the same source. My grandmother has also passed away in that house, but I'm confident she had nothing to do with what I'm about to tell you. Our house was two stories and had been built in the early 1960s in what had been farmland. My grandparents had been the first family to live there. They moved in when it was freshly built and my dad was a baby. One event that I had experienced happened to me when I was about 7 or 8. I'd been playing downstairs and decided to go up to my parents' room to hang out on their bed to watch TV as often as I did. Once you reach the top of the stairs, there's a landing, and my parents' door was direct to your left. remember opening the door and seeing a woman who I did not recognize holding what looked to be a laundry basket. She looked perfectly real, solid. Nothing in my brain screamed ghost when I saw her, but I could not move or tear my eyes away from her, presumably because I thought I was observing an intruder in my house. She'd been dressed in an ankle-length dress. It was a dull purple and was wearing an apron. She had dark hair that was piled atop her head. She was pretty, looked focused on her task, which seemed to be shifting things around in her laundry basket. She never looked at me, and I never heard a sound from her. This entire encounter probably lasted less than 15 seconds when this woman began to walk down into my parents' bedroom floor, as though there was a spiral staircase there. This perfectly solid-looking human being walked down into the floor on these ghost stairs, and I just watched, stunned. I never heard a sound, not even when she was jolting the contents of her basket around. It was almost as if I was watching television on mute. After she disappeared into the floor, I remember sitting on the stairs for a while, debating whether to go downstairs and investigate further. Ultimately, I decided to go into my room and play with my dolls. I never saw that lady again, and eventually I was brave enough to go into my parents' room alone again. It sounds horrifying to me as I type it out, especially for a 7-year-old experience, but oddly enough, I was not terrified. I was spooked, certainly, but not absolutely horrified. It appears this lady's apparition was an imprint left on time itself. I do not know for sure, of course, but she seemed to be going about her daily chores and paid me no mind at all. I have since moved out of state and away from my childhood home. My parents also live a few states away now. My mother fears ghosts and has always been tight-lipped about what she's seen or heard in that house. The only thing that does not scare her is visits from our beloved dogs. One I could mention quickly is that shortly after our American bulldog Jake succumbed to cancer, my mother watched him through the kitchen window running around in the backyard with our still-living pups playing. She only saw him once, but she thinks that it was his way of telling her that he was okay. I hope it's true and that an afterlife waits for us and we can all see our loved ones again. Thanks for reading my ramblings. I hope this is one of interest to you guys. I love the podcast and have been listening for years. As I've said, thank you for all you do. Kate.
So do you think it was a house that used to be there? Or do you think there used to be a spiral staircase in that room?
Could have been really either or.
It almost sounded like from the way the woman was dressed that it was pre-1960s, which was when the house was built.
Uh-huh.
So it makes you think maybe there was a house in that spot before, and that's what the woman is confined to.
It's following the imprint of the old house.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's interesting because I think quite often we think of it being as part of what the existing structure is, and not so much it was a previous structure there.
Yeah.
Which is... That's really interesting to think of that, where people may be seeing things where a structure once stood. It makes you wonder if there was not another house there. Let's just say, you know, that other house was torn down or whatever happened to it and it's gone. Could you still see these things if you were there at the right place and right time? A woman walking downstairs, or is the fact that it's restructured around and is kind of a building that these things are more visible today?
Like if there wasn't a house there, that you would just see this woman randomly walking down spiral stairs in the middle of a field,
just kind of like floating up in the air, kind of there.
Could be. I honestly don't know. I think maybe it helps the fact that there is a house there again.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
For conduit's sake, as far as like power and water and things that, you know, help ghosts.
Yeah.
Come into, you know, show up.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know.
It's an interesting one. And my mind then goes to other things too, of, you know, other structures and such that are gone, where people died suddenly, and you can go 1,000 roads with that of, you know, here's an example of this, here's an example of that, you know, big tragedies and such. Would you be seeing spirits in the sky, essentially, you know, in areas where there were things?
I don't know.
It's an odd thing to think about.
Mm-hmm.
Or that's why I wonder how much the new existing structure helps with that.
Maybe that's why people sometimes think ghosts can fly.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you for sharing that with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Next one says, one day I was cycling to school when I suddenly saw a man with an old hat, a cigar, and one with an old bike. I saw the man through the corner of my eye, but when I wanted to look him straight in the eye, he suddenly disappeared. A few days later, the same road, I just looked around until I saw a girl hanging dead on a tree. I was frightened until she suddenly disappeared. The strange thing about this story is that I saw the people in black and white. So interesting to, you know, see these things in black and white. How do you think that that connects?
You know, sensitive people see things differently, and maybe that's just how this person sees things that are from a different time or mm-hmm. different, you know, ghostly. I don't know. I've not heard of that. I've heard of people going to a window and looking out and seeing an old scene of like an old Main Street or, you know, things the way they were 100 years ago.
Sure.
But this is almost like tunnel vision, you know, and what they're focused on, they can see in black and white
mm-hmm.
and it's of a different era.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a new one, but maybe that's something, that's how they pick up on spirits that are around.
Yeah. And very bizarre that he saw the girl that was hanging, then he saw like playing.
Getting beaten up.
Getting beaten up.
Like
yeah.
seeing the before.
Yeah. Yeah. Very bizarre story. It'd be good to hear more of it. It's a shame it ended so abruptly. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi, let's hear yours.
Hello, my name is Jessica Cook. I am from Martin, Tennessee. But before that, I was from Dukedom, Tennessee, which is in the middle of nowhere. I grew up with spirits haunting me throughout my entire life. I believe that it was where we lived and land we lived on. My parents, we used to live in a trailer until I was 5, and so my parents finally built this house. It was a barn, but they reconstructed it into a home. So I was raised in a barn, and eventually I started having things poke me. I started seeing things randomly. As I got older, my friends started seeing things. One night I was sleeping in my living room and we had this humongous TV, and I'm just asleep and the TV done went blue. I wake up and I just see something cross in front of our dining room across from my parents' room to the bathroom. So at first I thought it was my dad just going to the bathroom, and then 5-10 minutes later, nothing passed back by. I go in there, my dad's passed out. I've always felt the poking throughout my entire life. I did have someone possessed in my home. It did not go too well. Throughout the years, I've always wondered what was with me. About a couple of years ago, I am 22 now, about when I was 19, I had this friend who was an empath and had told me that I had 2 attachments, and she really couldn't explain one of them. He didn't really want to be known. It was a man, an older gentleman, wouldn't say much, but she could find out there was this little girl that follows me around, probably from the 70s. I've never been attacked. I've just always had experiences growing up, random things happening to me, following me into my dorms, moving stuff. I would hear people running up and down the stairs where we live at now. When I was pregnant, some of the activity started up again. I had random things just walking around upstairs in my daughter's room before I had her. I had the dishwasher would just open up randomly. We'd hear random bangs. I live in this apartment complex, which no one lived next to us for a while. And we would hear people running up the stairs over there. We would hear banging over there. No one would be there. I know my dog could hear it too because she would start barking. She never barked. I don't think they would ever harm me. I've never believed they would harm me. But over the years, I've learned to let them live with me and just deal with them. Not a lot of people really believe me. I've never really told many people. I am open about it, but I'm only open about it with people that I know have the same experiences as me. And I just hope other people can be open about their experiences and everything. And if anything else happens to me, I'll let you know. But, you know, I've lived with this for 20 plus years, and I think I'll be living with it for the rest of my life. Thank you.
At least she seems sort of at peace with it. I mean, not that she's thrilled, but she kind of, like she said, she's lived with it 20 plus years and she'll probably have it the rest of her life.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's, if you're going to have to deal with something like that, I mean, learning how to deal with it is probably the best coping method.
Sure.
I don't really know what more to say. I feel bad because that's such a helpless feeling to know that somebody is living with these spirits attached to them and there's no real way to get rid of them.
I think for some, I mean, it really just kind of comes down to knowing that you're not alone with this. You're not crazy. You know, it's like a community of like these people. It's like a support group type thing, almost like what our show is to a certain extent. But it's like you're not going to change that this is part of you or this has happened to you or whatnot. But you can learn ways of living with it, dealing with it, how to handle it mentally, how to process it all. And that can be done through hearing how other people have done it as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that really is just kind of the reality for lots of folks. A lot of times they're trying to find the solution of how do I, you know, get this thing exercised away from me or out of my home or whatever it may be. And, you know, I don't know that that's always, you know, an option, period, no matter how much you want it to be or how much people may want to try to make that a reality. I don't know that all of us can, that can happen for everyone, unfortunately. 855-853-4802. Our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. So go to another caller. Hi, let's hear your story.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Rebecca from San Diego, California. How are you? I wanted to say that I love your show. I listen to you on my commute during the mornings and the evenings. And if I'm at home cooking or relaxing, I've told friends about it and coworkers as well. I've called in before and I've also written in and I have yet to hear a story on the air. I wanted to share something that happened right now during my lunch break. I'm actually walking around campus and I'm a little nervous, because of the strange coincidence, let's call it. So I have a best friend named Karina. And I've known Karina for like 20 years now, since seventh grade in junior high. She was my very first friend in junior high. And we've always said that we're like sisters from another mister. It's kind of like the joke that we have. She had an older brother named Juan. And Juan passed about, I want to say maybe 5-7 years ago from a potential drug overdose. And he was young. He was 41, and he had been sober for 7-8 years, and I believe apparently he may have gotten back and started using, and so he passed. Not many details were given, but at the time he did have a Facebook. I wasn't friends with him on Facebook, and so, you know, he's Karina's brother. He wasn't really around much, but I am very close with her family, and but not Juan, her brother. So as everyone else, or as most people do during their lunch break or breaks or when they have some downtime, they check their social media. So right now it's 12 o'clock noon, almost 1 o'clock actually here in San Diego, California on a Thursday. And like everyone else, I just decided to check my Facebook and I have a friend request from a Juan along with his middle name and last name with no picture. That was requested to me about 4 hours ago while listening to your show on my way to work, if you think of the timeline there. So I just, it was so weird, right? So I just kind of screenshot it and I send it to Karina at a first instinct. And I said, look, I said, I have a friend request by someone with no picture with exactly your brother's name. And so she just texted back. She's also a nurse and she texted back and she says, oh, I'm in clinic. That's weird. Maybe. And she laughed out loud. Like she's, you know, she's healed from it already. And so I decide to actually click on his name and I access his page and the mutual friend, Karina, Karina's son, Karina's family. And so in my mind, it is Juan. But how can that be if he's been gone for 5-7 years? Like, how is that possible? A Facebook doesn't automatically send you a friend request, you know? I don't know. I just thought it's paranormal, so I thought I'd give you a call. Just another excuse to reach out to you guys, since I love you so much. I love your show. Thank you again for airing this, and have a great day. Tell me what you think. Bye-bye.
I'll let you do the sentimental one, and then I'll do what I think may be happening.
Well, I was going to do what I think may be happening, and you be the savior of the story.
I'll be the savior of the story?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, go ahead.
I think somebody is playing a cruel trick and it's they're bored. And so they're going and creating Facebook pages of people that have passed.
Okay.
And, you know, it's probably somebody who knows this person. Mm-hmm. And they're, you know, they're probably during this time of quarantine bored and looking for things to do, and that's probably what's going on.
Okay
you
yeah, I was along the lines of there are people out there who will create whole Facebook pages in relations to families. Mm-hmm. And then try and then inch into some relation of the family, like a sister or something. So you create this whole relationship, because she said she looked there and said, oh, and the relationship is this, this, and this, and this. Mm-hmm. Well, that looks pretty legit. Mm-hmm. Those other accounts could all be fake too, but they've all been built to make this organic looking thing. And then the individual tries to inch into another family member saying, hey, I'm so-and-so's good friend. And, you know, they can look and see that they're friends with them. And then it becomes a scheme or a scam of some sort for whatever the intended purpose is. I've watched Catfish a lot.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, that does happen to an insane level, what people can and will do. Now, could it be paranormal? Could there be something there? You know, if you can get down to verifying that this is his original Facebook page and your friend can take a look at it and go, yeah, that was his page 100%. Then you got something there. Then I think you could have a chance of that being something paranormal. But without the picture, it does kind of, I'm not trying to debunk anything. I'm just trying to take a look at it from what all the possibilities could be.
Another possibility, slightly more sentimental, is this could be almost like a memory page.
Yeah.
For the family. Mm-hmm. To go back and look at pictures and remember things. And you know, it's interesting that it's, you know, 5 to 7 years later, but maybe somebody finally has time to go back and do that. Mm-hmm. And it's meant for the family. But that being the case, I'm sure your best friend would have been aware that that was what was going on and would have told you, say, hey, we're making this page and, you know, his memory, and we're wanting to share it with everybody who knew him.
Mm-hmm.
Just so that they have these, you know, these images, because nobody prints pictures anymore.
Yeah, they're all there. I've gotten friend requests from dead people.
Yeah.
As a memory type page.
Yes.
So that does happen, or at least it used to years ago. I don't know if it's...
But usually they're labeled as, you know, a memory type or in memoriam or something.
Yeah.
Not like, hey, I'm just still hanging out. Let's...
Sure.
You know.
Yeah. Let's go chill. Now, it's... I rarely like to go down the road of here's what I think is likely happening if it's something that is explainable, but with this sort of thing, you almost have to, because there's so much scam stuff that goes on, and it's not hard to find online people's relations and then create a circle of Facebook pages that looks legit.
Oh yeah.
You know, it could very easily be done by a scam artist who either knows the person's dead or doesn't know the person's dead. And then they're just trying to then inch into their friend's space to manipulate and try and you know, take people for whatever. So sorry, just being honest on that one of what it could possibly be. So just be careful with that. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. That's going to wrap up today's episode of the program. If you like it, keep it on the air, become an extra podcast person. And EPP, all you got to do is go over to ghostpodcast.com and sign up, or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for Jenny, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Hope everybody is doing their best right now as we're going through this crazy time in our world. I'm Tony Bruschi, host of Real Ghost Stories Online. I wanted to invite you and let you know about our other brand new podcast that we just launched, Help Kill the Time for You. It's called The Dark Side of Wikipedia. It's about true crime and dark history. We dive into some of the strangest, most disturbed minds and experiences from our history, and examine their story, their Wikipedia entry, and then discuss the cases, the individuals, and the psychology of the events as we go through each and every story. Some of our first episodes include Ed Gein, the BTK killer, the New London School explosion, Amityville murders, Richard Speck, Amelia Dyer, the General Slocum disaster, Jeffrey Dahmer, and more. New episodes every single week. Check out Dark Side of Wikipedia. Search it. Subscribe wherever you download podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and more. It's available now with new episodes every single week. Dark Side of Wikipedia. Search and subscribe today, and stay safe out there.